All right. Well, let's do it. It's good. Thank you, Lord. Check. Hallelujah. There's a train coming. You won't need no baggage. You just get on. All you need is faith to hear the diesel's hum. You won't need no ticket. You just praise the as a train come. You won't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesel's hum. You won't need no ticket. You just get thank the Lord. Look at your neighbor, say, go sit down if they're standing up. It's all good. I guess we have our own tradition. You know, I also want to take this time to greet those who watch us online, whether they're watching now or they watch later. We pray that the Holy Spirit minister life to you. Amen. Amen. Let me hear you say amen. Holy Spirit, I humble myself before you, and we thank you for what you're doing here. We thank you for what you've done here. We thank you for what you will be doing. Right now, we submit to the authority of the Word, the Bible, the living Word. It says all scripture is inspired by you, Holy Spirit, to teach, to rebuke, to correct, to equip, to teach. So come and teach us, Holy Spirit. To equip, come and equip us. To rebuke, come and rebuke us when we need it. Come and correct us. And come and equip us, Father. So therefore, that the righteous man would be ready for every good work. Lord, I humble myself before you. I don't take this lightly. I need you. I pray that you would remove from me all fear of man, but you would increase in me the anointing and the fear of the Lord to speak what you want me to speak. Lord, I pray that for everybody that will be listening to my voice, you know, sometimes in English I might not be able to express what I must say. That's why I call on you, Holy Spirit, Spirit of revelation, Spirit of truth, Spirit of life. I pray that you would take these, my words, your word, the vocal cord, my vocal cord, and just make an impartation in these, your sons and your daughters. This is time we need to hear from you, not from a man. So, Father, I just thank you. And we open up our hearts, Lord. May we be good soil. May we not resist your word. We give you chance. We give you room, Holy Spirit. Come and lead us and teach us. In your name I pray. And God's people said. You know, this week it's been my prayer. Just, I just feel like, you know, it's like preaching and teaching and talking all the time, something I do. But I feel like more so now, I have this reverent awe for it. You know, because it's like sometimes everybody wants to talk. Everybody wants to say something. And I'm a talker. I can talk. So before, I mean, part of my teaching today, we're talking about radical obedience. I had asked, you ready? I had asked my sister, Laji, to share, because the reason I asked her to share, it's because she's going to share a testimony. It's because I'm doing life with Laji. I met Laji right after COVID, and it's amazing when I see her life and her saying yes to the Lord. It's very encouraging to me to see how God is changing her. And not only that, but God is giving her a story. See, when you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, you will have a story. Thank you for this amen. You will have a story. When we resist the work of the Holy Spirit, you won't have a story. You're going to be, you know, you become hard. You know, so, Laji, come up here. You, believe me, she's being stretched. When I ask her, you know, she's being stretched. Put your hands together for her, even her obedience. You want to sit down? All right, make you comfortable. All right. Praise the Lord. We're talking about radical obedience, and one of the things I notice, and I hear it in her mouth, different things the Lord had asked her to do. And she has done them, but they weren't easy. But when we surrender to God, we will live. The problem is sometimes we resist too much, and then we spent 40 years in the desert. I can hold the mic for you if that will help you.
And with that to be said,
you don't have to look at them.
I'm not.
God bless you, Elijah, for even saying this.
Yeah, because this is hard. But anyway, with that to be said, I have struggled a lot with this always coming in front of people. I could talk to you outside of anything, but to be here is like, oof. Anyway, the pastor had sent us a text the other day, and hold on, I thought I had it together. And he had said that he has read Romans 12:16, do not be wise in your own opinion. So I was like, okay.
Okay, share the rest.
So then he came back and he said, I was listening to the book of Romans this morning, and this verse right here jumped to my spirit as warning. It's dangerous to think we got it. I humble myself again today. I am nothing without the Holy Spirit. I really need him today. Do not be wise in your own opinion. I am not wise in my own opinion. So as I read that, I was at work. I had no business being on my phone, but I did. And I responded really quick. And I put down, I'm not wise in my own opinion either. And that's why I surround myself with those who are seeking the same thing I'm seeking, the words and the knowledge of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. So I came that evening to the soaking prayer. And I told the pastor, I said, that's funny because I read something in one of my devotions. And as I read a little further, it was in Psalm 63:1, but I read a little further and I went down to Psalm 63:1-8. And that says, you are my God. I worship you. In my heart, I long for you as I would long for a stream in a scorching desert. I have seen your power and your glory in the place of worship. Your love means more than life to me. And I praise you as long as I live. I will pray to you. I will sing joyful praise and be filled with excitement like a guest at a banquet. I think about you, God, before I go to sleep, and my thoughts turn to you during the night. You have helped me, and I sing happy songs in the shadow of your wings. I stay close to you, and your powerful arm, they support me. It touches me because I'm also a survivor of cancer and hepatitis C from a blood transfusion that I received when I lost my first baby. And the blood that was given to me was tainted and therefore caused me 15 years later to develop hepatitis C. And I had to undergo chemo for a whole year, every other day for a whole year. And anyway, the doctors told me that I was better after that year. And I didn't only celebrate my last treatment, which fell on my birthday, October the 3rd, but I was celebrating thankfulness to God that he cleared me and he healed me. A few years later, I developed breast cancer. And the first thing I said was, Lord, this is yours. It's bigger than me. And he healed me. I am now going to be, I'm eight, but going to be, because I'm claiming it, 9 years cancer free. It's a day-to-day struggle for me, though. I could smile at you, but deep down inside, sometimes I'm hurting. It's just like that little mask that we talk about, we walk around with. I had a hard time and still have a hard time at times to trust, but I'm getting there. And I got sick from food poisoning, and I couldn't shake it off. And I normally just stay home, but this time I just couldn't do it. My girlfriend took me to the hospital. And after 10 hours, almost 11, being in the hospital in a wheelchair, in the emergency room, not in a private room, they tell me I was food poisoned. But it took me almost 2 weeks to get over it. But in the event, I went for my follow-up, and my doctor told me you have to go see the specialist again. When he told me that, I was frightened because I started thinking the obvious. Oh, my God, I got cancer again. Oh, Lord, I don't want this. And I just started crying, and I was like, I have just so much to still do for you, you know? How can this go on? And anyway, long story short, I went to see the specialist. And they told me, they took me right away. They started running tests and stuff. No cancer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. But he told me I have to change eating my ways yet again. And I did. And this time I stuck to it because I said, Lord, if it comes to that I don't have cancer, I'm definitely going to follow you again. More strict than what I was. And I did. And I stopped eating certain things. I was obedient to his word. I started reading more and more of the things that I had to do. I followed my doctor's instructions, and I lost 20 pounds from it all.
Praise the Lord.
So that was back in July. I went to my doctor's last Tuesday, and my doctor was very proud of me. And he says, what are you doing? I says, what do you mean what I'm doing? I'm doing what you told me to do, change my way of eating. He says, well, let me know what you did. And I told him everything that I did, which is what him and my specialist told me. I told him of an app that I'm using that tells me whether I'm using good food or bad food for myself, whether I'm putting things on my body that's good for me or not. Because no matter what we put in our body or on our body, it's not always good for us. And that's how I feel with what I read about how thirsty I am for him, that I look for that water. And Kendra just talked about the water that she drank. And I also have been doing something that I've never done before. I get up early in the morning and I'm reading the 365 words. The devotions and the scriptures. And then after that, I'm also listening to worship music more and more during my morning while I get myself ready to work. But I thank God that he's carrying me every day because I ask him to every day, because I struggle every day. And because of that, I'm trusting him more and more every day. And I just thank God for leading me here through my friend Priscilla, because I came to celebrate her birthday, and instead I'm celebrating him. So I thank God, and I thank all of y'all that all of y'all know my name, and I don't know y'all. But thank you for accepting me to be a member of your kingdom, as I hope that I could show to you, as I'm trying to prove to my father that I'm worthy. And I'm trying to be obedient to him. Because before my mom closed her eyes, she told me she was very happy of the person I became from where I used to be. So I just say, give me a chance. Keep holding my hand like I ask him to hold my hands every day. And I stay covered in his armor to fight the battle that I face each and every day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen, 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 amen. Yes. Help me say glory to God. Let's say it louder. Glory to God. You know, and one of the reasons I ask, thank you, Laji, for being so vulnerable. You know, I always say, when, you know, get plugged in. Serve your church. Because the enemy, he wants you to live the independent life. That's not God's will for you. And I thank God for, you know, this group of people that are coming and I'm teaching them. And they are responding to the word of the Lord. I mean, she was very gracious. We talk in our home groups and stuff. Get involved in a home group. Do life with somebody. If you just come once in a while on Sunday, once a month, it's not enough for you. You're talking about radical obedience. Now she radically obeyed her doctor and realized also that her body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I told you a couple times ago, I used to have really bad back pain, and people would pray for me. And one time they prayed for me, I literally felt the healing in my back. The pain is gone, but my habit, I was eating to death. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And maybe God is calling you to radically obeying him in the way you eat, in what you watch, in what you're listening to. You know, something she said, she's like, you know, now I'm more aware of feeding my spirit with worship music. Why? It's not religion. It's just it's creating an atmosphere. What do you put in? Because whatever you put in, you'll give out. From the abundance of the heart, your mouth will speak. But whatever you fill your heart with, also, your body will behave. You know, whatever we fill our bellies with. And that's one of my prayers for our church this year. So why is radical obedience is important? Because I give you four things last week. Let me just quick go over them. Because when you obey God wholeheartedly, it unlocks eternal. It's like it unlocks the fullness of life. When you obey God radically, it's like do not negotiate in obeying God. Now, at every level, that's why you must know what God says. You must know the word of God. Listen, guys, if God wanted you in heaven, you'd be gone already. So if you're still breathing, walking, he's not done with you yet. Okay? Don't quit on yourself. There is actually no retirement in the Lord. Now, you might retire from your responsibilities, you know. Maybe, hopefully, some days I'll retire from being lead pastor of a church somewhere, you know. Hopefully, but I'll never retire being a pastor. I'll never retire being a mentor. I'll never retire being a worship leader. Never. Never. So, until God calls me home. So we must obey God. And last week I asked you, what are some areas in your life you know you have to obey? What are some areas in your life? Or maybe, you know, your body is full of inflammation and you know it. Maybe you can't sleep because of anxiety, but yet you keep watching those junk shows that fill your mind with anxiety. Who is somebody you're hanging out with? The Holy Spirit is like, you know what? Bad company. Who do you want to be like? Of course, me, I want to be like Jesus. But guess who I hang out with? I hang out with everybody I know who wants to be like Jesus. Oh, especially now this year. This year, there are some people I don't want to be their friends. I don't even want to hang out with them. I'm not being rude or anything like that. I don't tell them, hey, I don't want to be your friend. No. It's just like, I want to be like people. I want to hang out with people I want to be like. I want to hang out with people. When I hang out with them, they pour in me, I pour in them. And after, when we go apart, I feel like, yeah, man, that was great. You know how it is when you have a friend, a tick friend, you know, those tick friend that sucks the blood, sucks life. You know, maybe you might not have somebody like that, but I've had a couple people like that. You know, you meet with them, they suck the life out of you because they don't listen. They just talk, and they tell you all their issues, whatever, but they never care about you. This is a year for growth. And God's calling us to grow in obedience more than ever. You must obey God. And Peter said it last week. We read it in Acts chapter 5. He says, judge for yourself. Must I obey you, O God? But let me tell you here, this here. We have no other mandate here in this community but to obey God more than anybody else. That's why I love you. I love my church, but I'm not here to please you. I'm not here to make you like me. I hope you do. I do. Because if you don't, then you're going to make your life harder because I am the pastor. Oh, seriously. And if you can't love me, if you can't submit, I pray that you'd be wise enough to go find up somebody you can submit under. Oh, yeah. Because if you go to a church, if God placed a spiritual mentor and authority over you and you can't submit, you disrespect, you don't care, you better go find somewhere where you can submit. Because if you don't, you're not being blessed. You see, this whole mindset, I told you last week, the kingdom of God is not democracy. The king rules. God make the rules. And we abide by the rules of the Lord. And he said what? If anybody wants to follow me, what must they do? You must deny yourself. My goodness. Wow. So obedience, radical obedience unlock eternal abundant life. Radical obedience release God's favor, God's grace over your life. That's why I will obey. If God says sell, I'm going to sell. You know, studying this, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, what I've been through 5 years ago, I'll never go through it again. Now, if God tells me to move to Colorado, I'm moving. I don't even care if it's so cold. You know? Well, I'm not used to the cold. But my dream is I want to go back to the Caribbean. I want to be in the, you know, Caribbean Ocean mountain in the back. That's what I want to do. But I tell you, I'm serious. I had this conversation with the Lord. I said, you know what, God? I get it. I don't want to spend 40 years in the desert. I don't. Do you? Come on, let me ask you this. Do you want to spend 40 years in the desert? I don't. I want to live a life full of God's blessings. I do. And I pray you do too. I pray you want to live a life that is so rich in Christ's abundant life. I pray that we want to live a life that is so rich with the Lord's face. You know, God's, his smile. You remember that verse in Psalm 67? It says, may God be merciful and bless you. May his face smile with favor on you. And I'm like, yes, Lord, thank you for smiling with favor on me. But you know, how do we experience that favor? We experience that favor when we obey. We must obey. Look at your neighbor, say, you must obey. Yep, look at him in the eye. Say, you must obey. You know, and if any of you here, you come to church and your relationship with the Lord is like a yo-yo relationship. You know those yo-yo relationship? Up and down. It's time, it's got to stop. It's time for you to come up. There is no time to be living a yo-yo Christian life. One foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom. You can't do that. You can't obey God halfway. It's impossible. Just like you can't be a little holy and a little worldly. You either be holy or you're not. You're either obeying God or you're not obeying. You're either following the law or you're not. But thank God that Jesus came, because through Jesus now we can obey the law. 613 law, who could? Nobody could. There's 613 laws when you study the Old Testament. The law of God. Jesus came and he showed us. He made a way. He's like, you know what? It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by the Spirit. And then therefore, he gave us what? A new heart. A heart willing to obey. You know, when we radically obeying the word of the Lord, it produced great intimacy. Now, intimacy, I've heard Jack Frost said it. When you study that word, it come up with, in deep in me, you see. You know, no one else knows you but you. But God also knows you. But you really know yourself. And you know when you're fooling, you can't fool your people. I mean, yeah, you're fooling yourself. We try to fool people. When you obey God radically, wholeheartedly, it creates this deep into me he sees. And then God gives you the opportunity to see in him. Do you believe that's possible? To know God so real? Listen, guys. A lot of people, they think God is up there in heaven. Yes, he is. But believe me, know this. He sent the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, we get to know. Koin. That's the Greek word. We get to know him intimately. Not because of what Pastor said. Not because of what I've read about John, Paul. But like we sang earlier, right? I've got a story. I have a testimony. I can testify. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because I have a testimony. I'm walking every day with the Lord, every year with the Lord, getting deeper, more intimate. So therefore, I can testify. And I believe that's what the Lord wants for us today. Radical obedience, of course, builds unshakable foundation. I use the story in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Let's read it again. It says, Mark chapter 17, verse 17, it says, as Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down, asked, "God, a good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and your mother." "Teacher," the man replied, "I have obeyed all these commandments since I was young." Look at him. Look at the man. Jesus felt genuine love for him. "There's still one thing you haven't done," he told him. "Go and sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Now, if you have this in your Bible, you must underline this. "Then come." Because until we get to that position to radically obey, this was too high of a price to pay. Let me tell you guys. Until you're willing to pay the highest price to follow Jesus, you'll never encounter him. some people think Jesus is hard. Jesus is strict. What a commitment. What a charge. What a call. Then come. Then what? After you go and sell, Jesus is like, "You know what? Yeah, you're trying to follow a bunch of wolves, but really, are you in love with me? Am I on the throne of your heart?" No, your possession is. And I tell you, sometimes one of the things that really prevent us from going deeper in God is obedience. Have you ever met somebody who knows the talk, but their walk deny the talk, their talk? Man, they know the talk. But then their walk. Your walk will meet your talk when you start obeying. And until we see Jesus, this is a constant call in our lives to obey. At this time, the man's face fell and he went away sad. For what happened? He had many possessions. Man, I want to be like Paul. "I count it all loss to gain Christ." See, that guy right there, he fell to obey. He couldn't obey this such harsh commandment. I know people who are struggling even to give their money. God's asking you for your body. You know, I know there's a saying back there. It's not just from the abortion group people who are against it. They say, "My body, my choice." But the moment I met Jesus, it's not my body anymore. I'm not talking about for the woman. I'm talking about for me. Ricardo, it's not Ricardo's body anymore. It's Jesus' body. So therefore, it's not really my choice. It's Christ's choice. So what is he saying about me? And this is when I start believing what God is saying about me. Man, you know, what is it? There's a book out there. I've read it a number of years ago. It says, calls about the battlefield of the mind. When the enemy gets in your mind and beats you up, make you believe all the lies. I mean, there's nothing like, oh. But I tell you, the moment Christ delivered you in your mind, and I always tell people, if there would be somebody that could be looking for pity let me tell you this, most of you know it, I grew up in a poor country, I grew up in a dysfunctional family, my dad was abusive physically, emotionally, I didn't know we were poor until I was old enough to realize, oh, I guess we were poor, you know. So I had no chance. My dad stopped paying we were going to private school. So I was in, maybe 10th grade. Almost dropped out. Thank God for my mom's aunt, because we were going in private school. After I graduated from high school, I couldn't even pursue my dream. I wanted to be a teacher, a science teacher, because I love chemistry. That's what I wanted to do. So when I look at my life, I'm like, if anybody had a reason to be a loser, I had every reason to be a loser. But thank God, my goodness, thank God for Jesus. Because I met Jesus in 1996. Oh, Jesus came in my mind. He's like, Ricardo, you're awesome. You were born awesome. You're smart. I gift you with the ability to play music. Guys, you know what? I had this awesome idea. I always had ideas to make money. So one day, I'm like, okay, what must I do? And then I had this idea came to me. I'm going to a music class. The teacher is teaching me, you know, C, D, whatever. I put a yard sign in my yard saying, here we give music lessons. So I'm taking music lessons from my teacher, and I'm charging somebody else to teach them. So I would practice. And then my student, and then of course, you know how passionate I am. I remember I had this one student, I'm teaching them, and then they go and tell their friends, man, we have this teacher, man. And then they bring two more students. But then it wasn't a monthly bill. It was every time they come, they have to come with $5. So I charge them per lessons. And I tell you, awesome, many different ideas. I mean, we got married. God would just give me ideas on how to succeed. And I never look outside of Haiti for a better life, because I know my better life was in God. I wasn't a victim of my past. I always saw success because I had Jesus. I choose to obey him wholeheartedly. You know, so what are some areas in your life? You know, I'm gonna talk about that, continue talking about that next week. And I know the following week, we're gonna have somebody else talking about what obedience, when you obey, how it allows you to grow in the Lord. You know, obedience brings spiritual growth. A lot of people, they don't grow because they don't obey. You must obey, my brothers and sisters. So I want to give you some time to respond to the word of the Lord. Find me that song, Make My Life a Prayer. I want to pray this song. If you need to come to the altar, I'm going to ask Betty and Kendra and possibly Felix is not here. You know, Aaron, be ready to, if somebody needs prayer. But let's respond to the word of the Lord. What are some areas you need to just lay it down, saying, you know what, God, you're shining your light right here. And Lord, I'm saying, right now I don't even feel like I can, but Lord, I'm coming. So I say, come to the altar or wherever you're at, kneel, come, go down, go low. You know, I want to pray this prayer. You know, it says, make my life be a prayer. Make my life, I want to do what you want me to. No compromise, no empty word. You know, it's a very good song from Keith Green. So let's pray this together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And respond to the word of the Lord this morning. Jesus. Yeah, let's just take a couple minutes just to respond to the word of the Lord. Radical obedience. What area in your life the Lord is asking you to totally obey him? Response to the word of the Lord. Oh, thank you, Father. Jesus.
Make my life a prayer to you. I wanna do what you want me to. No empty words and no white light. No talking prayers, no compromise. I wanna shine the light you give through your Son. Came to save us from our despair and ourselves. Comfort me to know you're really there. I wanna thank you now for being patient with me. Oh, it's so hard to see when my eyes are on me. I guess I have to trust and just believe what you You're coming again, coming to take me away, take me away. I want to thank you now for being patient with me. Oh, it's so hard to see when my eyes are Make my life a prayer to you. I wanna do what you want me to. No empty words and no white lies. No token prayers, no compromise. I want to shine the light you gave through your Son. You sent to save us from ourselves and our despairs. You comfort me to know really there. I want to thank you, Jesus, for being patient with me. Oh, it's so hard to see when my eyes are on me. Guess I have to trust and just believe what you say. Oh, you're coming again. Coming to take me away. Lord, I want to thank you now for being so kind with me. Oh, you're coming again. Coming to take me away. Take me away. I want to thank you, Jesus, for being patient. Coming to take me away, take me away. And I will choose Christ, I will choose love, I choose to obey. Trust you, Jesus, wholeheartedly. Lord, we thank you for the work you've done here today.
We choose you again. We thank you for the miracle you work in our hearts, desire, the deep desire you've given us to follow. We bless you, Father. I invite you to stand. We are so grateful, Lord, for being so patient with us. Thank you that your love leads us to repentance. Judgment is coming, and we don't want to face judgment. So therefore, this morning we choose you, we choose life, we choose to obey. We choose to, live in the light. And as we go, Lord, I ask in the name of your Son that the power of the Holy Spirit would cause the word that went forth, cause it to grow. Lord, I pray that they would be able to listen, or maybe remember what was spoken today. We thank you for loving us so much that you don't leave us in our merry. You make a way. So now I declare that your favor goes before us. May your face shine on us. Not only in this moment, but until we see you, Father. May the Lord give you all peace. In Jesus' name, amen.